Welcome to episode 172 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong. I'm a Run to PB coach, and I'm joined, as always, by fellow Run to PB coach, Zach Newman. How's things, buddy?
Things going well, mate. Yes, you were just saying you've got the countdown going for Christmas.
19 days to go. And if I'm a
Sent
day
your
out, if I'm a day,
letter to Santa,
yeah.
mate. Have you requested a couple of super shoes or some socks?
I did actually. I'm not even joking. I did ask Santa for a couple of pairs of shoes, and he has made a delivery, and I did have to ask Mrs. Claus if it was all right to open one of them early.
Oh, hang
My
on,
easy ones.
you can't
So,
open them early.
well, I'm happy to wrap them back up for Christmas Day, but I may have taken a pair for a few test runs already. So yeah, no, so good. Look, Christmas has come early to the household, which has been fantastic, but who knows what other surprises lay in wait in a few weeks' time.
Love it, mate. Yeah, we've got a big show. We've got a big show. We've got a guest coming by. Potentially, well, not potentially. It is a local of yours back in the day, Crusoe. So we're gonna
Yes.
gonna quiz our guest on some of your some of the hotspots around Shepparton.
I'm gonna see if she's been out to the Botan, if she even has heard of the Botan,
Maybe
because
a bit of
yeah.
Shepparton bingo.
But no, looking forward to that. That's coming up soon.
Yeah, and oh, mate. Big weekend of running in terms of the elites going around and on night on Zatopek track. Well, it was the night of I butchered the name. It's not the night of tens. It's the anyway on takeoff Zatopek, which yeah, breathing new life into what I was sort of I was there and I thought, Chriso, you've been to a couple of Zatopeks before?
I have been to a couple before. Very much enjoyed them. Certainly didn't look anything like the spectacle that occurred on Saturday, though. To refer to
It
it as
actually felt
that.
like a normal, it felt like a sporting event, Chriso.
Yeah, it was.
It
I mean,
felt like
I.
we were actually at a, professional. Look, I just always feel like some of the previous iterations of Zatopek, it's they're national champs. We've got some of the best. We've had Galen Rupp come to Zatopek back in the day. We've had internationals like that. We've had the best Aussies. We've had Australian records go right, but they've kind of been at, it sort of felt like a,
Pretty dry.
like district cricket, like it's not like a one day international, or it's just been, yeah, there's been some highlights and then there's it sort of deathly silence between races and you're not really knowing what's going on. There was no real entertainment, whereas this, yeah, it felt like you were at a big bash or you were actually at a professional sporting event. And whether that's just the added, having more signage, brighter, more, you had the DJ, you had it felt more, yeah, more legit, and you could see a lot more kids there, and people were sort of interacting and walking around a bit more. Yeah, it was new life back into something that, it only needed 20% more, and it would have been a bit better, and they probably put 120% in.
No, I loved it. I mean, admittedly, I was just on the live stream, but the whole thing went so quickly, just the way that it flowed between the presentation of the events. Probably the only tricky bit for mine was where they had the stage set up for Peking Duck. Every time the runners looped around it on the live stream, you couldn't see.
Was on the middle of the track with Andy Buchanan for a while, and we're watching, but yeah, we kind of just saw them like fang by. Then you're looking around, you can't see them, and then they come back out. And the issue is they didn't have the live stream on the big TV at the stadium. So you really didn't have any knowledge of what was going on. The commentating was drowned out in the middle from the DJ, from the music. So it was in that respect, yeah, there's a couple of things that, I would have liked to see. As a pure fan of watching sport, it was actually hard to follow in that sense. Yeah, and that's like, not knowing what the score is in a game. Like, they didn't have any splits going on. It's just like, oh yeah, we knew who the front guys were, but if you're coming along to this as your first meet, yeah, I think you definitely need Yeah, I mean, they had these massive LED signage that was set up just with the on logos, but maybe take a couple of down and actually have some rolling splits coming through just so we know what's going on.
Yeah. I'm still giving it an 8 out of 10. I was very impressed, but can it see how it could easily be a 10 next year? I was like, wow, this is the future.
Keep leveling it up. Yeah, they've got, I think, a 3-year deal at least, and they'll probably, you know, I can't see them not extending further if they can just keep raising the bar like they did. So, and then you have Valencia. That was exciting with the women absolutely smashing up Fukuoka. So, yeah, like just a absolute binging of athletics all over the weekend.
Mate, it was brilliant. I loved the results at Valencia. It was so good to see how they came through. And knowing the stream at Valencia as well, top quality, good commentary.
Yeah, free on YouTube, wasn't it? Yeah,
free on YouTube. And just even being able to flip between the men's and the women's, I enjoyed that. So felt a bit spoiled. Did see some people referring to the weekend as Christmas it was Atapec on a Saturday, Valencia on a Sunday, and obviously with Fukuoka as well throughout the whole Sunday afternoon, our time. So very, very spoiled. But we also had a number of other races getting around on the weekend with our own athletes too.
We did. Yeah. We'll touch on that, I think, you know, a little bit, because I reckon it would be cool to tick off some of the athletes that went around at the Zatopek Wellness Run, Park Run, Gold Coast Run Festival. So that was a fair bit. But before we get there, Chriso, should we just quickly roll through your week? Were you a bit inspired off the back of that? Obviously, it was before that, but you were getting ready for it.
Yeah, no, I was very much looking forward to giving my session a go. It sounds a bit boring on paper, I mean, 8x1K, but Andy threw a couple of twists into this one. So all at 10K effort, except reps 5 and 7 was supposed to be sort of between 3 and 5K effort. So the first 4 you sort of got, I guess, is, you know, layups really, just to see how we're going to go, and then sort of really dial it down for rep 5 and try and settle back for rep 6. And the biggest thing I was nervous about was more how's the body going to respond to that rep following the hard effort? The legs, are they just going to go lactic and it's going to go badly? Am I going to be able to change gears? But it all seemed to flow pretty well. So the 10K effort, you know, 60 seconds.
Did he set a pace or was it just effort?
Nah, just efforts.
Yeah.
We ended up running the 10K efforts around sort of low 330s.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the push Ks were in the 320s. And even probably the most exciting bit was running that last rep and sort of seeing I was going a little bit too quick and going, oh, this is good. I don't have to try and force this rep to try and run consistently. So it was nice just to still be able to, like, I was working and I was pretty tired at the end, but to be able to run that last K and still be in control and feeling like I was able to flick between the gears. It was really good for the confidence, because I honestly wasn't sure how it was going to go before we started. Just one of those days where the warm-up just felt a bit rough. So, yeah it was good.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of this. This was a staple of ours at the TAN for a while when I was in a group and the coach at the time. Yeah, he absolutely loved it. And there was something about, having to push on those. And often he'd say, we're going 10 to 12 seconds, like really pushing at this and simulate a race, simulate being able to just. And it's also a little bit about opening your mind up and getting a bit of belief in that you can actually, because if you just do these 1K reps at the same pace, you sort of just dial in and you if you're not having a good day, you can sort of really switch off. Whereas this just forces you to go, okay, I'm resetting at 4. I've got to now dip and have a go here. And then, and I always find you come off that rep feeling $1 million going back to the 10K pace.
Oh, yeah. No, it was that was such a relief. That didn't blow up. But I mean, this is how I would prefer to do this session from now on. I did say to Andy, I'd really love to continue and keep this on a regular basis. I just think it's brilliant and something I'll be giving to my athletes on not every 3 or 4 weeks, but when the time's right.
Yeah, because it can lose its charm if you don't, if you do it every week, because it becomes that, you know, the norm. But if you, you now and again, and you just get that, and you almost get a little bit nervous before this, because you're like, okay, I know how to run these controlled, but I'm actually going to push my limits here, and I've got to think a little bit more about. And you sort of, I always used to get a lot of belief, because I'd see it on paper. I'm like, geez, I'm running these solid at X pace. Now you ask me after four of these to go 10 seconds K quicker.
Yeah.
You find that you can, and then it just instills that belief in a race that when the pace gets going, yeah, you might be sitting on a set rhythm, but you can back yourself that if you have to go down and the pack moves and you have to cover a move, you can do it because you've done it previously in session. So yeah, it's so good to be able to come off that knowing you can flick the switch when need be.
Yeah, no, very happy with that. And sort of one I looked at and went, this is kind of like when you get to K sort of 7 and 8 in a 10K race and being able to sort of find that next gear and push down when you get tired. So yeah,
like that elastic band that happens in track races.
Yes. You know,
on that pack. And then the pack stretches and you're already close to your limit and you have that conversation in your head and the dialogue of like, have I got anything more? Can I just let him go and roll him in? And yeah, it's good to practice that in training, you know. And sounds like it worked for you, mate. Came out really well.
Yeah, no, very happy with that. And the body pulled up pretty well as well. I mean, the fatigue wise was a bit tired Thursday when I did it, but it came up pretty good for the long run. And the long run this week, I honestly jumped in with Anna like I do every week, but gave her one of Matty Davies' long runs that he uses in his marathon blocks for his athletes. So did 22K all up. So first 12K were easy, and then did an 8K marathon effort. But during that 8K marathon effort, we did a little 1 minute surge every 2K. So at 2, 4, and 6K, just a hard minute. Not worried about pace, just go and push and run smooth and try and run quick, which Anna's really good at.
So would you be going towards under 10, like 10K effort, under 5K?
I just said to Anna, I just want you to put in a real hard push for a minute. So for her, sort of in somewhere between that 3 and 5K effort. And Anna has great mobility from her years and years of Pilates, so she does have an extra gear and dropped me on all three occasions, because my pace off the mark isn't as good, so she dropped me by 4 or 5 meters. But yeah, she was getting down into sort of the high 330s, low 340s minute pushes, and I'd sort of reel her in by the end. It was a lot of fun just mixing up. So you sort of had those three different gears, so they're easy at the start, then just sort of working into it with a marathon pace stuff. But then again, just putting in those surges through that, and then just a real chilled 2K cool down at the end. So 22K all up, and yeah,
does
loved
it feel
it.
Like the end of a workout, or does it feel like the end of a long run?
For me,
it's 8K at Mara effort, so there's a bit of.
Yeah,
on tired legs, so you've already done 12 at the end of end of the training week.
Yeah, sort of. I was tired at the end, but not too much more. Like, I suppose if I said a normal long run would be a 4 or 5 out of 10 effort, this was maybe a 6.
Okay.
Given that we probably do our easy pace at 4:50s, and Anna's marathon efforts are around 4:25 to 4:30, so it's not a massive jump, but it's enough to notice the difference. So yeah, she handled it better than I did, if I'm being honest. it was good. I had a lot of fun, and it was I have to thank Maddie for that. Hopefully Maddie's listening, but no, it was good. One that we'll hopefully do again. Look, Anna doesn't have a marathon coming up, but she really enjoys those longer sessions with a bit of change-ups in pace to do as an extra session, because she only sort of gets the chance to do one faster session a week. So it's good to throw those in every sort of 2 or 3 weeks to add a bit of extra quality in.
And when it's 22K in total, probably, you know, it's safe. It's in a safe zone that you're not going to absolutely bury yourself for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
The following week.
So, no, it was good. Everything's going pretty well. Going to have another go at the 3K in Bendigo on Tuesday. So, yeah, looking forward.
What are you going to do differently this time? Is there any, apart from take out another six or seven kids?
Yeah. No, hopefully they haven't filed restraining orders. Nothing's come through yet. So, probably, honestly, in terms of preparation, not a lot. Weather looks like it's going to be pretty similar, which that's fine. Yeah.
You think you got, what do you reckon you've got more, like 10, you got 10 seconds in there?
Depending on the weather. I think if it's at like, if weather conditions are a little bit kinder, maybe. Yep. I reckon I'll be like, how do you measure this? I think I'll be at least sort of 3 to 5 seconds better off just for having done the last one because I know what it feels like and I won't be as tentative. So I think I'll probably be a touch more aggressive in that sort of first 1500. But we'll see. Hopefully it doesn't come back to bite me in the ass in the last 15.
Yeah, I'll probably ban a bit, purposely ban a bit in your face about, hey, you know, you're going to put 10 seconds. Like, I know you'll go out there and just run it way and more about just executing and the time will be where it at. I think you're a smart racer. You're not going to go there just to try and sit on a pace. But I think it'll be good off the back of the learnings from your last race to see. And like we've said, you know, you need a few of these in your legs.
Yeah, I think so. Back race for sure.
Different.
The main thing I'm considering doing different is rather than wear spikes this time, I might just wear Vaporflies. Maybe just that the only difference. Not in, look, I pulled up fine from the spikes, but just wondering like whether, because I really enjoyed the Vaporflies in the K reps. And maybe it'd be nice just to try these on the track because I can. But don't know. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Right. Looking forward to seeing that result, mate.
What about yourself, mate? Had a bit of Brady fartlek, I saw.
I did, yeah. A bit of throttle fartlek. And enjoy that session. I reckon he's onto something with that. I know it's been floating around and it's popping up on a fair few programs. And I did it sort of 2-3 weeks ago and ran it. I think I did it solo. And this time I had Dave P join us. And it's always good to have someone like, you know, in a fartlek, and like he was pretty keen to work with me early. And then I said, look, you're a bit fitter than me, just push on in the back end of it. But just looking at the comparing the session, like just even being a bit more confident and obviously fitter a couple of weeks in down the track, I was able to get out stronger. I averaged 358s for the session last 2 weeks ago, and I was 352s, but I was just looking even the first K we got out, like I was 344 through the first K in the 2 weeks ago, or 336 through this one. So
nice.
You know, it's, and it didn't feel, again, it probably felt very similar back end started. So with Brady BT or throw full fart league, it's a 5 minute effort, and then it's off 1 minute recovery. So you go 5 minutes, 1 minute recovery, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then it's 5 minutes at the end. So with the 1 minute recovery, it really does start to build on you towards the end. But we were able to sort of push down, like in the threes and the twos, we were actually getting a bit of speed in the legs again. So nice to feel that. And yeah, Dave ran away from me, but I was able to kind of get back on in the 5 minutes. I think that's a sign of a bit of strength coming through. So yeah, happy with that. And then Sunday run pulled up pretty good. Just cruised to, actually met Gemma. So she, as Maddie Morgan, who is a friend of the show and now Strava troll, who managed to make it known that Gemma was kind enough to slow down for my long run pace, which a big shout out to Gemma for doing that because I know it was killing her. But we just cruised it. I don't know, I think what did we average, 4:45s or something in the end. That again, I actually felt good, and that was as that long run. I ended up misjudging the timing because we're watching the Rollins run and running up and down on the road and path, and got back to my car, and it was actually our plan to do 80 minutes, and ended up being 125, so a little bit over, but that's as far as I've gone in 6 months, I think. So rounded out the week with 82K.
Oh, so how good's that?
Yeah, first time I had 81 the other week, so I've just tipped back over, and yeah, it's good to sort of get back to those, you know, that long run, not feeling too banged up after a session. And then, yeah, backed up last night. We're recording here on Wednesday, so I did a Tuesday session, went back to Melbourne Uni, haven't been on the track for 5-6 months. I thought, yep, I'll throw in some 1K reps. And I know it's just a staple. And it's 6x1K of 60 seconds, not much. You can't really hide in that one. And yeah, enjoyed it. Like the knee, it was pretty hard on the body early, like just getting on the track. I did in the Vaporflies.
Yep.
But yeah, it's sort of the loading I think I'm at where I can sort of push through it a little bit. I know some of the work with Dane and the mobility and the drills and just a shift in what we're trying. It's like, yeah, it's not a bad time just to load it up a little bit. It pulled up pretty good, still knocked out the next day run or today's run at similar pace to what I would have been, and similar sort of levels of, I haven't done a lot of Tuesday sessions. So to come off that after a Saturday, Sunday, you know, hour Monday into a session, it's good signs that I'm starting to handle a bit more volume and, you know, two sessions. Like it's probably 3 weeks of two sessions a week. So
yeah,
I'd like to think, you know, 6 or 8 weeks of two sessions, 90 minutes, I'll be in a lot better position to handle these loads.
With like the muscle fatigue at the moment, does that still feel pretty similar to the last few weeks, or can you sort of feel it building week on week a little?
Yeah, there's certainly a few runs that are starting to like not feel like I'm laboring as much. And I think that's just the conditioning. Yeah, so it's a little bit by a little bit, but then I'm doing more. So it's, you know, that funny thing is that, like, doing more Ks, doing more harder sessions. So it's good to sort of feel the same as I did when I was running 50, 60 Ks a week and doing a 70-minute long run, one session. Now I'm doing two sessions, 80 minutes. So the fact that it's sort of feeling it's maybe a little bit better off more work, I'll definitely take that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it looked 1K reps, like I wasn't burning the track up, but I was sat in at 3:30s and in a group. The group sort of moved away in a couple of last reps. I didn't have the gear change, didn't force it, just rolled them through, but was able to sit in at the 3:30s, it was in between 5 and 10K effort. I was hoping to sort of make it feel like 10K effort, but I mean, realistically, I'm not in that 10K shape. I'm not going to go and knock off 3:30s, but it didn't feel like I was absolutely flat out at it. Like, you know, I wasn't under 5K effort. So, yeah, that's a positive. Did in the alphas, mate. I actually thought the alpha flies were all right on the track.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, so I'm sort of planning to try and get to the Melbourne Uni track at least once a fortnight, just to, you know, having that group effect. And I feel like I'm better in some of these group of sessions, just sort of forcing myself to push along. I know I did a session the other week and I just did it solo. I thought I was going well, and it was the end of a long day, and I just thought, and I looked at my watch after, so I couldn't believe it. I thought I was going a lot better. So yeah, having a bit more accountability and pushing a bit more outside the comfort zone seems to be working with the group.
Oh, and just mentally keeping it fresh, having the group there to train with, so that, I mean, look, no doubt, you know, yourself running in the afternoons, you're going to get some stinking hot, really ugly weather days over the next 3 months. Yeah. So, you know, some of that sort of mental fatigue is minimized where you get to go to uni and train with the crew. I reckon that's awesome.
Mm. It is, mate. Yeah, I'll just keep stacking them together, and then hopefully something sticks.
Nah, good signs, mate. Very impressed.
Hey, just a quick around the grounds, mate. I know we've got a guest coming in, but we thought we did our big social post. There was a lot going on over the weekend. It was bloody all out, mate. There was some results from obviously down at Zatopek. We mentioned that, but as far as from Saturday night Zatopek to all the way to the Sunday Valencia Marathon, like in between that was a lot going on. Park run Saturday morning, I should add. There was four or five going around in that. Gold Coast Run Fest, that happened up in the Queensland with, past our last week's guest, Jess Willis.
Mate,
got the win.
Took the dub.
Yeah, that was, mate, 142, I believe.
Yeah, over the 25K. I think Jake might have joined her for a decent part of that as well.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but there was that. And also the National Roast Chicken Half Marathon over in Taiwan. Did you catch that one?
Didn't know it was a thing until Mad sent it through and said, Sankuri's got the, all the medal. Medal was cool. I think that's a very unique medal that you get when you do the National Roast Chicken Half. So no doubt there would have been some cool things in that and goodie bag on that.
Yeah, I would love to see the prize bag or even just the podium prize that that came out on that. But
wellness run. I was out there, like I mentioned, in my long run, cruising around with Gemma or hanging on to Gemma. Gemma had come off running, less than 24 hours ago at Zatopek, national champs with our man Nathan Stoke, both representing Run to PB, and they did awesome on the big stage. And then Gemma backed up with a run, and watching Mattress Davey go around facing off with Brady, and the coaches got on the podium. We saw that, and stacks of PBs. There was 20 plus athletes going around at the wellness run, so that was really cool to see them in action.
Nice. We might not have been able to capture all the names who necessarily raced at Wellness Run. There may have been a few missing. Quite able to get everyone's results. But, at least 20 plus down there. So perfect conditions by all reports, plenty of PBs, and always good to see the Run to PB coaches up on the podium. So it's been a bit of a trend since the start of the event. So very good.
One thing we might mention just from the photo that's on the socials is a pretty cool story. Was two Run to PB legends, both coached by Sammy, a mum and daughter combo. And it was Anna Ellis with Linda Dermott, who Linda, I believe, I'm going to go with 70 here, but it could be between 70 and 72. Sammy was fact-checking this, but Linda won the 65-year-plus age group category. Anna paced her mum to run 30:48 for a 5K PB. What a cool cool moment. And I know Anna was excited when we posted that. Said she's absolute hero and inspiration. I think she's an inspiration for all of us getting around 5K like that.
And Linda, former national UK track sprinter as well.
She is. We have mentioned Linda before, and looking super fit there. And cool story. You can see that photo on the socials. It's very cool.
That was one of my favourite stories from the weekend, that one.
And lastly, some breaking news that came in from the track down in Tassie. We had our man, Paul Reason, who unfortunately is often on the wrong end of the cops, the wrong end of the stick, and it's usually a pacing from us, but we're giving him some kudos because he has lit up the track running a 3K PB, running 10:28. It's actually his first, he was saying beforehand, he was a little bit nervous jumping in a 3K on the track where he hadn't run a race on the track since high school. 30 of them in there. Had a little group in there. You even made a move with 1,200 to go. It was really pumped. He's already talking about the next one. And like, it's talking about more racing. And it's like, it's so cool for, I guess, some athletes who, I guess, you know, might challenge themselves to get out of the comfort zone and jump on the track and get in a race. And he's done it here and come away with a cracking run. I know, like, we actually did a 3K. He did a 3K time trial solo, maybe a month or so back. And I said, mate, you got to get in a race. Like, a 3K. Like, not many people that would opt to even jump on the track and do a 3K time trial. But to now get in a race situation, he's got a lot of experience from it. And I know you were very excited with the kit, mate.
Oh, mate.
The pictures on the socials, it is lighting up.
It's a 10 out of 10 for the kit for mine. We do
airtime on the spikes in their running form.
Eleanor has taken an absolutely magnificent photo of Paul, but it's the new dragonflies by the look, sort of the white with the pink swoosh. Did mention to Nora that I know I've got 3 pairs of spikes and would be lucky to wear all 3 pairs within a 12-month period, but maybe it's worth getting a 4th pair because these look really cool. It's the first time I've looked at spikes and thought, I really should get those because they look amazing. But no, I can't justify getting another pair. But absolutely 10 out of 10 for the kit. And I really admire Paul actually having the guts to go and get on the track. I mean, long time between drinks from when he was back in school. But, you know, track's challenging. But I think the growth that you can get from it as a runner is brilliant, particularly if you are results focused. It's really worth getting on there and giving it a crack. And yeah, full marks to him. He's done a bloody brilliant job tonight.
Yeah, we'll give him the kudos this week, and then next week we'll probably find something to give him a backhanded compliment on.
No, when you do well, we'll give praise, and when you don't, well, you know, we just like to keep things in check. That's all. But no, it's praise tonight,
mate. We're going to have some more praise with the next guest because she was actually at it, the wellness run on the weekend. So we'll get a bit of a hot take on that. But let's get her in.
Let's do it.
Our next guest on the Better With Running podcast signed up back in 2020. Back then, she'd run her first 10K in 2017 and 2018, did a half, had never raced a marathon, and previously viewed doing running as little as possible during the netball pre-season. Sherelle was matched with our Olympian and Run to BB coach, Madeline Heiner, and the duo have now ticked off a 145 half marathon and ticked off a major marathon over in Chicago. Sherelle is our next guest, and welcome to the show, Sherelle.
Thanks, Zaka. Nice to be here.
Excited to have you on. I cut my intro short there because I was actually going to also mention that you work in events, and we're going to obviously go into your running bio and your progression and some of your PBs, but we're also going to pick your brain on what you do day to day, which is the marketing manager, one of the big wigs with the Ironman Oceania Group. So
I don't know about big wigs, but
excited to chat about all that, Sherelle.
Yeah, no, it's exciting to be on and talk a little bit about running. Been a bit of a journey, I guess you could say.
Sherelle, from your humble days there at the Marutna Cats with the ladies there playing netball in your pre-seasons, how did you go from trying to run as little as possible throughout your pre-season to deciding that, you know what, I want to run marathons and I want to do this properly all the time?
Definitely didn't go to marathons, that's for sure. I pretty much the most running I would ever do would be pre-season fartlek training, where maybe 3K time trial, if that, was probably the furthest you'd do. And I was definitely one of the slow pokes out the back. But I actually did that first 10K at Run Melbourne in 2017. as a fundraiser. My mum got sick that year, actually. So that was actually what kickstarted that journey. I wanted to fundraise some money for the Cure Brain Cancer Foundation. So I did the Couch to 10K running app program and kind of worked my way up to the 10K at that event. And that was my first ever dabble into anything longer than netball necessary running, basically.
Were you in, you weren't working in the event space then?
No, I definitely wasn't working in the running event space. I was just working locally in SHEP as in marketing, but in a completely different industry, water and wastewater, actually.
So I'm guessing seeing all these people running and like, oh, you know, the experience, did that big motivator for you, obviously, to get into your running, but also open your eyes up into the world of running for recreational and even into what the space you're in now, which is all kinds of runners.
Yeah, I guess like I did that first 10K run, and then I actually didn't run again for pretty much a year. And then I decided to get back into it and did that half marathon. And I still probably wasn't fully invested, I guess, yet into running, but I had always been interested in sport. My university degree is in sport development. So the interest has always been there in sport, but I always thought it would be more so in like AFL. That was kind of always what I always grew up being interested in, being a country girl, being involved around football, netball clubs all the time. But I've landed in events and running and a little bit of triathlon, obviously. And yeah, I love it now. I think that's, I have somehow happened to live and breathe it all day, every day now.
Let's talk about your progression. So signing up with Madeline must have been either mid COVID, pre or off the back of COVID. I'm just trying to think back now. Were you doing a lot of solo running and then thought, all right, I need to get some guidance?
Yeah, that is pretty much it. It was straight start of 2020. Pretty much bang on COVID. I had just moved back to Maroopna after living in Sydney for a little bit because of COVID, and we weren't obviously sure what really was the deal with COVID yet. It was thought it might have just been a couple month thing that we were all going to be hanging out in our houses, and running was the only thing you could kind of do. But
yeah.
I was working in the industry at the time as well, and whilst I was doing a little jog here or there, I kind of thought I wanted to properly get into it a bit more. So I did. Yeah, I signed up with you guys, Run to PB, and got matched with Mads. And I guess the rest you could say is history.
Mm-hmm. And you PBs, mate. So you correct me if I've got any of these slightly wrong, but half marathon, we've gone 1:45:04. 10K, a tick under 48 minutes. We got 47:43, and then marathon, sub 4, we went 3:54. Of those ones, which one's probably your favourite?
Well, definitely not the 10K. I don't really like the 10K distance. So that was just a time trial run that I did around Centennial Park in Sydney, I think. I think that one's from, so I don't even know if that would count. I don't really race 10Ks. I wish I could say 3:54. It's actually 3:55, 50 at Chicago, so just over 55. But I think that half is probably my favorite one, because my very first half that I did back in 2018 was maybe 2:08, I want to say. So yeah. I feel like we've wiped a bit of time off that one, whereas I've only managed to just wipe a few minutes off the Mara PB so far.
Mate, 23 minutes off the half, that's like sitting down and watching a full episode on Netflix of, you know, like a series or something.
Yeah. I'm a bit dirty. It's still got the 4 seconds and it's not quite a sub sub 1:45, but we will get there.
And since, like, you obviously had your Couch 10K, the original program you were on, and then you've migrated into this, to the running world, and some of the training you've been exposed to with Madeline and like what you've learned along the way, is there some sessions that when they first popped up on the final surge, you like, well, what the hell does this mean and why am I doing it? And then you've now come around to enjoying them and learning a lot more about them?
I don't think I've ever questioned a session, but I definitely started out, I started hating easy runs. I was like, oh yeah, I don't enjoy doing these slogs, but I've come to kind of love the easy runs now. When I wake up in the morning on an easy run day, I'm pretty, pretty happy with that. But I found I really surprisingly enjoy the quite long marathon sessions. The ones I like running at marathon pace. I like that if I'm doing speed, well, interval sessions or speed work or anything, I love marathon pace. I guess that's a cheat way out because it's obviously a slower pace compared to a 10K or a half pace. But I definitely love the, I like running longer if it's a little bit slower, basically. So, you know, ticking off a longer session in the morning doesn't make me want to cry so much if it's at marathon pace rather than, I'd rather, you know, an hour, over an hour long session at a slower pace than a half hour mono or something.
What about some of the lessons that you've learned from Mads since you first started? Sort of some of the things that have really sort of resonated and been a bit of a light bulb moment.
Yeah, I think something that Mads said to me maybe after, no, it was prior to an event last year. I can't remember which event it was now, but I wasn't really feeling very good about my running at the time, but I'd already signed up for this half and I was questioning whether I should even bother going and bother running it because I just wasn't feeling, all my sessions felt really hard, just running just didn't feel very good at the time. But you know, she kind of was just like, you know always going to be PB ready, you know, you got to take some positives out of every run. Like it might just be that you take what you get from a hard effort at your current fitness and then we can kind of build from that. But also to think that, you know, events can also just be magic to be a part of sometimes, even if it's not an all-out effort and you've PB'd and you've gotten everything that you wanted out of it, which, I mean, you'd think someone, as someone who works in the industry, I wouldn't need a reminder that events are so great and events are magic, but I'm often obviously on the other side of the fence, so it is really nice to be a part of it on the other side as well too.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never, yeah, you obviously, when you go to these events, it's almost like you're going into a workplace, but then you have to switch off and enjoy it for what it is. When I mentioned to Mads, we'd been able to lock you in for a chat. She talks about you a lot, and then she had a few words to say, and she did. And basically, her message to me was, Sherelle is an actual gem. And had said that you had the perfect balance of life and joyous running, and you get that there are ups and downs and you're just so much fun to coach. So yeah, I thought just the way, and I think I won't make your head any bigger because there's like more and more pages of info about you that we'll probably dig into a little bit later. But yeah, she absolutely, you can see the bond that you guys have created over working together, and it's reflected in the results, but also your love for just running and knowing, I guess, that, yeah, every race isn't going to be a PP race.
Yeah, no, Mads is awesome. She has been a really good support for me. And then when I moved from Sydney to back to Melbourne, it's awesome to actually be able to go have a wine and actually discuss what we're going to do next and that kind of thing. And yeah, she does always say that I've somehow managed to get the balance right between the social life and the fun things in life and also being able to still get some decent running in.
Yeah, Sherelle, able to share what the notes are that Mads might put into your program the day after a marathon?
Basically, they say margaritas and donuts time or something along those lines. Yeah, she I take that advice very seriously.
Yeah, I think you need to tick those boxes when the coaches put it in there.
Yeah, just following coaches' instructions, basically.
Let's take us to Chicago this year. So you had to build up. Was it a smooth marathon build or was there any little obstacles along the way?
Pretty big obstacle. So I decided to also pick the netball back up this year and play some competitive netball again this year. And after the first game training that week, I actually tore my calf. And that was literally the week after I booked my flights across too. So I was pretty dirty. And it was pretty dire from there. I had to take basically 2 full months off running. I couldn't walk off crutches for at least, I think it was at least 10 days before I slowly started to do this kind of shuffle thing, I guess. Had to learn to get in the pool and did a lot of spin classes in the, as much as I could, and riding Zwift, which I do not enjoy. So it was a pretty, pretty hard way back from there. I wasn't sure. My physio kept saying, you know, we'll be able to make it work. It just might not be, you know, the race that you expected, the race that you wanted. It might just be a matter of crossing the finish line rather than, I signed up for this race. You know, Chicago is obviously known for being a fast, flat course. I wanted to travel over. I had a whole year when I signed up basically to really put in a full good block. I was really excited to give that one a really good crack and actually kind of wipe a bit of time off, hopefully, off my the two marathons before that. But it kind of had to reset that idea a little bit, because I did have to start back at basically doing, I just looked at my very first session back from the physio before just to see, and it was 200 walk, 200 jog times 5. That was my first run back. And I remember how good it felt, but it felt pretty sad at the same time, because definitely was a long way back to that, to 42Ks.
Is it fair to say that calf raises are your favorite new strength exercise?
Fair to say, not my favorite exercise. I did so many. I had to go to twice weekly physio sessions, and that means a lot of calf raises. But to be fair, look, they do their job, and I probably have gotten a bit slack on it. And I really need to get back to doing more calf raises again. But yeah, that was a bit of a downer, and something I really had to kind of get that mindset back that, yeah, probably I thought that I wasn't going to get the finish time. I thought it was going to be about the finish line, but somehow Mads is a miracle worker, and we got there.
And I was looking at the splits. I was so consistent, and it was just to hear that and look, to be honest, we didn't have that context. So I'd seen your marathon and thought, amazing, you got over to Chicago. But then to have those obstacles in your path, and like that just adds another layer of just showing how resilient you are to be able to get through all that. Because, you know, a lot of people, may not have got to the start line, may have just gone throwing the toys out of the cot and said, I'm just cancelling everything. And that's just a testament to your strength and resilience to get to the line and then to tick it off. Like, that's just really, really cool to hear that you did that. So congratulations on that run.
Yeah, thank you. It was definitely a lot of doubt on that start line. Like, I think the longest run I'd done was maybe like 25Ks, if that, because I just ran out of time to get those solid long runs in. So, but yeah, like I said, we got there, and it was pretty amazing.
Well, you spurred on with sorry, Chris, one follow-up. I'm a bit of obsessed with Chicago because I have done it. How did you find the vibes and the race day feel at Chicago, and maybe putting your event lens hat on? What was some of the takeaways there?
Honestly, I love, I've done, you know, the 3 major marathons, I guess, in Australia, but there is nothing that can compare to that kind of fanfare. Like, I went over by myself, you know, there was nobody on course that was there to cheer on me or just chasing me around the course, but you never like felt lonely. Like, I'm usually the kind of person who likes to just chuck their headphones in and run. Like, I find it easy just to think about that. But I went with one headphone in, and you're just kind of running along, and you just can't help but just smile the whole time, because like the music, the spectators, the signs, like everything is just, it's pretty epic. And even like just the whole, like the way the whole city kind of gets around it. Like I'd never been to Chicago before, didn't know really much about it, to be honest. But yeah, just the way that everything gets around it, the whole city, all the shops, the cafes, the restaurants, like you kind of just, you know, you feel pretty, pretty special. Like you're one of 40,000, but yeah, it's pretty epic.
Given your injury setback hitting into Chicago, what sort of goals did you set yourself? Like, did you sort of like, was it literally just, I just want to finish this, or sort of what was your thought process heading into the event?
Yeah, that was what I probably was my outwards goal, like what I was telling everyone else. But I obviously had internally, I'll admit I kind of can put a bit of pressure on myself, but I'd kind of hoped that maybe I was in a better state than I thought, but I didn't want to actually say that out loud to anyone, because then like maybe I was going to run a 5-hour marathon. Like I really didn't know. That was the tricky thing. I really had no idea what it was going to feel like on the day. Like I said, I had only got up to maybe 25K as a longest run. So I hadn't really got any long runs in. So I wasn't super confident on how the body was going to hold up on the day. So I kind of internally had these like, I was hopeful to at least get under 4, but I realistically didn't, I wasn't sure if that was actually even possible. So I was so, super stoked that I felt really good. 90, I mean, like most people, I hit a little bit of that 30K wall, and but nothing so bad. I think my pace was pretty consistent throughout the whole race. I didn't positive or negative split, just kind of somehow just stayed the whole same pace the whole way. But I was really surprised of the outcome in the end, because I really was trying to, I kept saying to everyone it was finish lines, not finish times. That's what I was, the mantra that I was saying to everyone. That I kind of went with, but I was also secretly finish times was still in the back of my head as well.
Considering your first half was what, 2 hours and 3 minutes? Or was it 2:08?
I think it was 2:08, I think, my very first one.
Yeah. And now you've gone and done a 3:55 over, yeah. It's some progression. It's so cool.
Yeah, I'm stoked with it.
Wanted to just pick your brain, just shifting gears into the running industry and what you do day to day. And we're seeing this massive, I guess, running boom. It's probably, I heard someone say it's not a boom now, it's just the norm, that there's so many people that are just into running, into getting into these events. We saw Melbourne Marathon sold out in record time. Like some of your events you're involved in the iconic City to Surf, which is an unbelievable event with the heritage and what it's done for running in Australia. You've got Auckland Marathon that you look after, Sydney Half, Runaway Noosa Marathon, Queenstown, Hawke's Bay Marathon. What are some of the things you're noticing out there that's sort of coming up with either, I guess, what athletes are looking for now and what you guys are focusing on in delivering these events?
Yeah, I was going to start with that I totally have seen. I guess I hadn't thought about it the other way around. It is definitely a bit of a running boom at the moment. Running definitely seems to be trendy at the moment. And, you know, for us, obviously, you know, events had a little bit of a hiatus over those few COVID years, and we weren't sure if this running boom was just going to be a bit of a hangover from running being the only thing you could kind of do during that when people couldn't hit gyms and whatnot. We weren't sure, is it everyone's going to come rushing and flooding back to events, but is that actually, you know, going to last over the next few years? But at this rate, it is looking like running is here to stay at the moment as a trendy sport. I mean, it's kind of everywhere at the moment. But I think something that we are definitely seeing, and you mentioned the events there that I am the marketing manager for, A fair few of them are very destinational based, and you know we're seeing that people are going on running holidays a lot now too. They're tying in, they want to travel because we weren't able to travel, and they're tying it in with actually being able to run events at the same time. So I think that's something that we're definitely seeing more of. Destinational events are top of people's list to kind of do, and yeah, I just think at this. And marathoning for sure is definitely the distance. Half marathon has been, you know, traditionally the most popular distance because, you know, it's enough of a challenge for most people, but it's not, doesn't require the commitment probably for a marathon. But it does seem like the actual marathon distance does seem to be really, really popular at the moment. Everyone wants to tick off a marathon. So we are definitely seeing really strong numbers in marathoning as well, which is really cool.
With I suppose looking at, are you able to separate, like while you're running around, do you look at things and see things during these events? Do you think, oh, I might pinch that? Like, is there anything that you saw at Chicago that you thought, oh, I'd love to try and take that to and suggest that to Auckland or Queenstown or even City to Surf that you think, yeah, like this is just a no-brainer. Why aren't we doing this?
Yeah, you definitely can't help but keep your event industry kind of hat on when you go to other events, whether it's on the other side of them as well. You're thinking things that are amazing and really cool, or maybe you're also more hypercritical a little bit too as well, of things that you're like, oh, like, you know, they could do that better. That's yeah, you kind of see it both ways, but it's really good. Like, it's really good to be able to, yeah, going to something like Chicago, like one of the World Marathon Majors. Obviously, being able to see a 40,000 person marathon event, you know, how they do everything. And then, yeah, you've got like, it's a little bit harder to kind of contrast to that with a, you know, double the amount of people, but, you know, a third of, four, sorry, a quarter of their time of run with something like City to Surf. But it's, and being more of a fun run, obviously, but versus a marathon and things like that. There's all a bunch of different things that but yeah, I definitely can't help but I have a little bit of an event lens on whenever I go to other events. So it is good. It's great to be able to seek inspiration from other events.
Well, it looks like you get to travel to some pretty cool destinations as no doubt you're working the long hours, but hopefully you get a chance to relax after some of those cool places you go to.
Definitely get a few of my own runs in because I can't do the event, so it's always good.
Hey, Chris, I reckon it's time for quick questions for Sherelle. I think we can put her under the pump here.
Yeah, no, I've got some. I'm actually thinking of some others on the fly. So, but we'll
Nervous.
no, you'll be great at these, especially with the marketing background. I reckon you'd just be bang, just absolutely smashing these out of the park. But we'll start with a couple of easy ones. Just a couple of looseners. Garmin or Coris? What sort of watch have you got?
I've got a Garmin Fenix and I'm very happy with it.
Top of the range. Love it. What color? What color?
White and rose gold.
Oh, nice.
Stylish as well, yeah.
Obviously, I wear it nearly every day. So.
Nah,
Do you wear your watch all day, Christo? Do you take the garment off at all?
when I go to sleep, I do, yeah.
Yeah, I only wear it when I run. I just take it off. I find it too clunky.
Yeah,
I love it. I love the rest of the data.
Oh,
I like data.
so what data are you looking at through, like while you're working? Is it you're getting that sort of data?
Steps.
Oh, like,
You're getting
oh,
segments
just
in the office.
general step count, you know. That I actually sleep with mine. I like sleep data as well. So I like looking at all that kind of stuff.
See, Nora sleeps with her Garmin on for the same reason as well. So she likes her sleep data. Whereas I'd be horrified at mine, so I
Yeah, I don't
shouldn't
want to see mine. Yeah, me either.
it. It's not good. Now, very interested in this. So, iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
That was said with a bit of disdain for anyone that
Wait for one, Christo. Finally, we'll get one across the
Do
line.
you? So, I'll double down on this one. Do you also have an iPhone for work?
I choose not to because I don't like two phones, but we do have to have I do have to have a pretty up-to-date iPhone for the sake of content.
Yep. No, very good. That's okay. Best donut to have the day after a marathon.
I'm a sucker for just a strawberry iced donut, sprinkles on top.
Yeah, are we talking like a Krispy Kreme or like just something that you whip down to Coles and grab, or like what does that go to?
Yeah, honestly, I do love just the Coles ones, the ones that you get from the bakery there. Otherwise, a warm cinnamon donut from somewhere as well that can really hit the spot as well. But no, Krispy Kreme doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, okay. I'm not being game to try one because I look at it and think that's probably a big handful of diabetes right there.
What's your take on the jam donut?
Nah, not for me. Too messy. Too hot.
Yeah, I think they're overrated. Yeah, I'm not.
That's it. Like,
Chris, are you a jam donut fan?
No, it's at the footy, if it's cold, possibly.
Yeah. You want to burn your tongue.
Well, I'm a shocker for burning my tongue on hot things, but that'd be about the only time. Certainly not a summery donut, I wouldn't have thought. No, but one piece of advice for 18-year-old Sherelle.
Oh, God.
Oh, it was only a couple of years ago, Sherelle.
It wasn't that long ago.
That's 14 years ago, but thank you for saying that.
Start your calf raises early.
Yeah. I think my advice would maybe, it'd be a bit too deep for this. I think to my 18-year-old self, I'm trying to keep it light.
Oh, no, that's all right. We're a very well-respected, intelligent podcast in the run community. Oh, well, that's okay, because moves on to the next question perfectly. So, favourite Shepherd and nightclub?
Oh, God. Is there such thing? I don't think there is such thing, but it would...
Best of a bad bunch?
Spent plenty of time on the bullion dance floor in the early hours, so I'll just say that.
How many nights?
Don't go out past 2 a.m. in Shep. That would be my advice for the 18-year-old Sherelle.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So you take that a step further now. Probably don't go out in Shepparton after 10 p.m. things have evolved a bit over time.
Definitely.
But no.
How many nightclubs you got down there, Christo?
I'm
You're
not
an
the
ambassador
best,
for one
not,
or two.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that says the person who goes to bed at 9 o'clock every night. That's why anyone that actually listens to us every week and it's the last 10 or 15 minutes, that is after 9 p.m. at night. That's why it is the loosest and worst content that we've put into the show. And for the record, it's now 8:53, so we're getting close. there's a lot of closed ones. Like I couldn't even tell you if the bullion bar still operates. I reckon that, to be honest, there's only one that I know of, and that's the deck. They seem to advertise a lot, and I am way too old to even be allowed in the deck. Like I'm lucky to be even let in the places for like the 6 p.m. like meal sitting. So
RSL.
Yeah, well, that's it, mate. RSL Thursday night feeds. Pot and Palmer night, like that's more my scene. The peppermill, yeah. But the deck with DJ taking requests to 2 a.m. and $5 spirits is not for me.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute since I've been there myself. Don't worry.
Now, favorite gel. So marathon block would have gone through a few gels. What was your favorite?
I just go for Morton's, to be honest, or I like the goo ones, the ones that you buy at Rebel. Are they goo? I think they're goo. Goo Roctanes or something like that. But those ones or just a Morton.
You can't just put the word just in a Morton, not at $6 a gel. Like, it is top shelf. It's good stuff. They're my favourite, but it's a good gel.
No, they're not $6 for one gel.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, so this is probably not in the Ironman.
We're pretty fortunate to have some good partnerships, and that is one of our partnerships. So
for our listeners, if they were to use code Sherelle at checkout for There's some Morton. Is there some sort of discount?
They can give it a try, but it's just going to say that carriage does not exist.
it was worth asking.
What gels did they have on course at Chicago? Did you carry everything or did you take some off the tables?
No, I had my own, but because they had the Gatorade Endurance ones, which I don't even believe you can't buy in Australia anyway, but I don't even think you can buy them in America either. So I'm not really sure who could trial them, but I did just see literally today that Morton is the new gel provider for Chicago. Not that I'm doing it again, but it is there. It's now Morton from next year.
Awesome. That's big.
Yeah. Any race in the world that you could do, which one would you choose? So it doesn't even necessarily have to be running. But yeah, if there's any race that you could participate in, what would you go with?
After visiting New York this year, I actually really would love to do New York marathon. So yeah, such a cool city. I reckon it'd just be a really, really good vibe. So I mean, that might be a bit boring being a major. I'm sure there's other cool events out there that would be really good. I also really want to do Queenstown, even though I just have to work at it all the time. But Queenstown just looks epic as well. It's just so crazy beautiful over there.
Not the Mad Cow Mud Run?
I've done the Mad Cow Mud Run. I can already tick that one off.
Well, that's a staple in the GB running community. The Mad Cow Mud Run. Running alone or with a friend or group, what do you prefer?
I do a majority of my running by myself. And I don't mind the odd run with a friend or a group, but I probably prefer it because I tend to try and run too fast, or if I run with other people, or I go the other way and you run too slow when I'm meant to be running a particular pace. So run by myself and I can just run the pace that I would like to run most of the time. And you can go at whatever time suits you.
Since coming to Melbourne, have you joined in with any of the crews? I know I might have seen you jump into a hunted session. Like, have you been able to find any sort of casual groups that you've been able to jump in with?
Yeah, I have done a few hunter sessions. So they've been good. Mads usually puts my Tuesday session as hunter or something else if you want to do another session. And I also occasionally go on a Friday to quite a casual girls run group from the Barton Milk Bar in Hawthorne, which is Friday Gals, which is just cool. A really good
Chelsea in there.
Yeah. So that's a good more casual kind of jog and coffee, which is nice. So that they're a good bunch as well.
Cool. No, you're in good company there.
Better city to live in, Melbourne or Sydney?
Melbourne, obviously.
Shout out to all our Sydney listeners that have tuned in.
I love Sydney. Has a lot of great perks. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, Melbourne being close to Shep is always going to be a benefit to me as well.
Always good to be close to home.
Yeah.
Favorite running sock.
Features. Yeah, nice. Features. Good. I actually have a thing where I buy a new pair of running socks at every running expo that I go to.
Yep.
And that tends to be that's quite a lot, obviously. And features tend to be at a lot of them. So they have been my go-to sock now.
Do you have a particular colour?
I buy a different colour every time. Or I buy another pair of black or white ones because you can't go wrong with black or white.
Yeah, it always pairs well with a kit.
The features are the ones that have the toe socks.
No, toe socks freak me out. They're in gingies. They freak me out.
Okay. Jess Willis, I guess, that we had on last week. They're her favourite socks.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard from a lot of people that they're great. They just freak me out. I don't want to put my toes in little things.
That's okay. I've tried them on once and for one run, and that was enough. An experience. Yeah. But all good. Favorite shoes for easy days and for race days.
I actually love shoes. I have quite a few pairs of shoes.
How many?
Currently in my Garmin shoe tracker thing, I think I have 12 pairs of shoes in there at the moment.
Nice. Yeah, 12 active.
Yeah, so I'll. There's some in there that I probably don't reach for very often, but they are in my trackers because I haven't decided to ditch them yet. Easy days, I like my ASICS Glide Rights, or a Nimbus as well. I do have them as well. Long run, I like New Balance Super Comp. Race day is also New Balance. New Balance Elites. Version 3, the newest ones.
Very nice. That's a good set. Is there any what other shoes have you got in the rotation?
I have a pair of Saucony Speeds, which I also really like for a little bit of speed work. What else do I have? I have some ASICS Magic Speeds as well.
Yes.
I have V2 of the Elites, of the New Balance Elites, which are now retired from racing, but part of I'm still doing some interval stuff in them to wear to finish them off. I can't see my shoe cupboard right now.
We're noticing no Nike in there. Is this a bit of a statement because some of your events aren't
I don't know. I haven't really found Nike suit me very well. I've tried a few. I don't mind Infinity Reacts, but I don't get a discount with Nike, so that doesn't help either. So I like the new, like, everyone obviously froths over their racing shoes, but I prefer my New Balances.
Nice mix there. We know you're Chris, so you got this next question about favorite athlete.
Yeah, so look, I know you follow very closely the elite running scene, big Inside Running podcast fan and following the elites, but who's your favorite male and female Aussie athlete at the moment?
That is a very hard question because, yes, I do really enjoy following the elites. I mean, because it helps that I also listen to the podcast, but I really enjoy listening to For the Kudos. So watching Brett race and being the marathon record is always you feel like you know them, even though you obviously don't. And I actually really like Ed Goddard as well. I've met him a few times because he races in Sydney, and obviously I'm the I work in surf and the Runaway Sydney half. So I've met Ed a few times, and he is great value, and I just love that he's just a bit different. got the mullet, you know. He's just he stands out in a crowd. You'll never miss him. Female. I mean, I just love the core group of those marathoning females. They're just incredible. Like all the ladies that run over the weekend at in Valencia. Like, I just love watching what marathoning is doing. And Sinead Diver, I see her around all the time. Now that I'm in here in Melbourne, don't know her. I never met her or anything like that. But you know, you've got this. Her story is pretty incredible. Sometimes I pretend that. You know, she only started when she was like 30 or something. Like, I've gotten up on that. So maybe that'll be me one day.
Yeah, we're only 20 according to that question for.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, I think that's probably a good wrap.
No, just on the follow up on that, most marketable athlete in Australia at the moment, distance running, would. I know is that why Ed's comes to mind? Like, do you find what he's doing for the sport, or is there someone else that you think could be our, I guess, poster boy or girl?
If you're going for poster boy, it's got to be Stewie McSwain. If you're talking about a poster boy of running, is everywhere. He's at the races. He's doing things. He's probably the most marketable, but. Yeah, Ed definitely has a thing about him that probably makes him quite marketable to a particular audience for sure.
Yeah.
He's not a traditional runner, probably.
No.
got a bit of Craig Engels about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be? Breakfast.
Pizza.
This is breakfast, lunch, dinner, pizza. All right. We have to dive into this. So pizza. What are we going to go with? Like, is it homemade? Is it we going somewhere for it? What's your go-to pizza?
If I'm eating it every day, that does make it a little bit trickier. But I've like what toppings I'd want to go for. But I if it could either be homemade, just made on like a, you know, like a pita bread base. I do that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or a good quality wood fire pizza.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. Not a dirty pizza. Definitely couldn't go a dirty pizza. Like yeah. If you want to eat it every day, the dirty pizza has its place, but it's definitely not the go-to.
That's like the Domino's. Just
I was going to go for like a Casablanca or something, you know.
You know what's funny? So these are the rabbit holes we talk about. So Casablanca is where we hold our Shepherd and Runners Club committee meetings once a month, and we happened to be there last night. I had a small Maria special for those that are listening. So absolutely delicious. Oh, actually, they're not that bad. For a pizza, like it's not filthy. Domino's and like you're just stale Pizza Hut, like that's real hangover material or post long run. But no, I reckon Casablanca's all right.
Casablanca for me is a Sunday after a big night kind of pizza, so it's just got that in my head for me for Casa. So yeah, I'm just gonna go with like no disrespect. They, like I said, they have their place. That kind of pizza has its place, but it's not my go-to.
You'd be thrilled to know that they still have the same 80s vibe in there too.
Of course. I'd love that.
It still smells like 1985. Yeah. I love it. No. Sorry.
Pineapple? One. You were going with pineapple? Yes.
Had to know. Pineapple. On pizza.
Does it go on pizza? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Love me a Hawaiian pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Preach. Zach is disgusted, but
no, I'm not happy about it. Yeah, it's in a fruit salad. Have it in a daiquiri or whatever, but not a.
What about a burger, Zacha?
What, pineapple?
Yeah.
Nah.
No.
We don't need to be healthy. We're having a burger.
I'm a fan of that as well. Fan of pineapple on a burger.
Mm. Yeah. And beetroot. Not
and
on a
beetroot.
Pizza, not on it. Like, no beetroot. No. Pizza, but in a burger, no. It's a staple.
Definitely.
Mm.
Yeah. You can tell it's gone past 9 o'clock, Chris. So we need to go. Thank you, Sherelle. You've been an amazing guest, and it's been really cool to hear your journey. And like we said earlier, we did know the backstory about Chicago, which really, yeah, gave us some context and made it, super interesting to hear how you managed to get to the line and finish it off. So thank you for jumping on and sharing your story. And we'll be obviously following your running in 2024 and get you back on for a follow-up.
Thanks so much, guys. It's been fun.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sherelle.